and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious!
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward!
Welcome to WrestleMania!
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin, and join me this week, I've got the author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, Oliver Newman. How are you doing this evening, Oliver?
Yeah, I'm okay. Thanks, Chris. Just go on the nicknames that you have for me and Nick. I think today you should call me Two Shows, Oliver Newman. Because obviously I've had to record that mammoth Positive in Pro Wrestling episode 10, which went 35 plus minutes, and I'm back here tonight to record with yourself and a couple of special guests, so
yeah,
so a little bit crazy when it comes to this podcasting, I guess.
Yeah, so as you say, Nick is still in New Orleans. He's probably at the SmackDown taping, I'm guessing, now, so I think we've done more than found adequate replacements. We've got the IndyCard Mafia, Eric Enemann on, and Thomas Bewington. How you doing, Stephen, lads?
Hey! How's it going, guys?
I'm great, thank you.
So, yeah, going great, thanks, guys.
So thanks for joining us. How have you been since we last spoke? So.
Still breathing, still alive. It's all good. It's all good.
Doing well, traveling the road. We won tag team gold since the last time we spoke.
Wow. So
that's pretty good.
We did.
Oh, congratulations, guys.
So where are you champions of now?
Anarchy Championship Pro Wrestling out in McAdoo, Pennsylvania.
Oh, brilliant. Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you. That makes 7 for us. We're gonna need new bags.
You're going to be better than Austin Aries. The tag team version.
I think the most we held at one time was, what, 4? So I think Aries has a few.
I had four, and then I had the single title on top of it.
So you had 5. Yeah, I think Aries still has his beat. Damn.
Alright, so, got so much to talk about main. I think we should just go straight into the main card, not bother with the pre-show.
But Cedric versus Ali.
You can talk about that one.
Okay. And it was wonderful.
I hate you. I hate you.
I was gonna say at this point, like, I covered that on the positive show today, but yeah, if you guys want to talk about it, Chris always says that the kickoff show, which I think is really wrong. So no blame him.
My only issue with the matches that were on the kickoff was why Naomi? Why out of nowhere Naomi? That was Bayley's moment. I feel like it should have been Bayley's win. Like, don't get me wrong, I like Naomi. I just don't think that there was anything going for her at that moment where her winning the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal meant something more than what was going on with Bayley and Sasha Banks. That's my only complaint as far as any of the pre-show goes.
I gotta say, when Naomi won the title originally, I wasn't a fan. And then when she won the Battle Royal at Mania, I'm still not a fan. And it feels so unorganic. It's like the crowd wants us to like her, and I really feel like Naomi, for me, is starting to get like that Roman Reigns, like, you're pushing her down my throat now. I really don't want Naomi. Why do you keep giving up to her? Like, what is it that they see that the majority of the WWE audience doesn't see? Because, like me and Tommy were talking about, during WrestleMania, the reaction Bayley got when she thought she won was far greater than the reaction of Naomi actually.
I think, as with most of the results on this show, I think it was just shock value. Everyone thought it was going to be one of the three women who got their entrances was going to win it. So.
Yeah. I think if he was going for shock value, I would have had Peyton Royce win it.
Peyton Royce winning it would have been fantastic. I love Dakota Kai in that match. Seeing her hit boot after boot just made my heart so happy.
Yeah, the whole NXT thing was incredible, wasn't it, really?
Oh, and before we move on, can we mention why on earth did Bianca Belair feel the need to hit a 450 in a battle royal where elimination is over the top rope?
Yeah, and they specifically said on commentary, we don't know why she's standing on the top rope. I don't think she realizes that it's over the top rope elimination.
Yes.
If I was in that match and I saw somebody standing on the top rope, they're getting pushed off.
Like, if this was the Indies, he would be in the third row.
Forcefully. I would be forcefully launching people off of the top rope. I'm sorry. If you go up there and you expect to be hitting something big, joke's on you, you're hitting the concrete.
And I've heard that Bray and Matt are now being called on the internet the Woken Lovers. Strangely.
Oh no.
I don't know if that's just an internet.
I ship it though. I completely ship it. I'm all for it. Let's go. That's the thing. Let's make it happen.
They're called the Woken Lovers. People have been calling.
Woken Lovers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, should we get on to the main show then? Or do you want to speak about Cedric winning the title?
I'm just so proud of Cedric. I'm so happy. Like, he deserved it a while ago, and it's sad that it took the whole Enzo situation happening for him to finally get a chance at the belt. But honestly, if none of that happened, he wouldn't have had the biggest win of his professional career on the biggest stage of professional wrestling ever. Like, so it was a blessing and a curse, and at the end of the day, he made sure that he was remembered, and props go out to Ali as well, because he's improved a hell of a lot since the Cruiserweight Classic. So, you know, I'm all for them going at it again.
They showed right at the beginning. They looked at each other, and Cedric goes, let's show them what 205 Live is all about. And I think, honestly, right there, they did. They used the grandest stage of them all to prove that 205 Live is valuable to the WWE.
I was just going to ask a quick question to you guys. With the build-up, do you think it was the shocker that Cedric won? Because for me, they've positioned Mustafa Ali as somebody that could have carried the brand, and it shocked me that Cedric Alexander won.
From the beginning, in all of my predictions, I had Cedric. I marked him as the champion, beforehand. I was like, this is the guy that I would put a division on. He is the guy who's got an amazing look. He has an amazing talent. And I think that he, going into it, is the person that everybody could see leaving that division.
I absolutely agree. And it even goes as far back to the actual Cruiserweight Classic, where after he was eliminated, you hear the NXT Universe chanting, please sign Cedric, please sign Cedric. And Triple H comes out, looks at Cedric and goes, sign him? Okay. And that was it. Like, he was honestly a made man from there, and he has earned his spot that he was given. He has earned every single accolade that he has built up so far, including now winning the Cruiserweight Championship. And I hope that with Triple H now leading 205 Live, that it continues to go in the positive direction that it is. Cedric is absolutely the man to be leading this charge.
Yeah, it's probably the one positive thing that's come out the whole Enzo situations, this tournament, which has been brilliant the last couple of months.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the punk rock supernova Eric Ebenon, the leader of the IndyCard Mafia, the voice of the free world, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Right, shall we move on to the main card then? So,
let's go.
Yeah, so the main card opened with Seth Rollins defeating The Miz and Finn Balor for the title. I think it was a brilliant opener.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I was slightly upset that we didn't get WrestleMania Demon Finn, but the message that was delivered was a lot cooler than that.
Yeah.
I truthfully wanted Finn to win because I didn't really think that somebody like Seth needed another WrestleMania moment after, let's just be honest, one of the biggest WrestleMania moments of all time happened 3 years prior with him cashing in Money in the Bank.
Yeah, definitely.
During the main event of WrestleMania. I don't think he needed another moment like that. It would have been really cool for Finn to have it, but overall it was a great match, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I thought everything about that match was awesome leading up to the finish. You know, like Tommy had pointed out, know, I did want the Demon King in New Orleans, Louisiana. I thought that would have been a really cool thing, but like Tommy said, a greater message was made. Something for a much greater cause put out there, and I can commend him for that. The other thing was, to Tommy's point about the WrestleMania moment, I don't think it was exactly about the moment. I think it was more about giving him the ability to call himself a Grand Slam champion. I mean, this is a guy who, when he left the Shield, you know, everyone said that he was perfect in the Intercontinental title, and look at him now. He finally won the Intercontinental title after all this time. He had done everything else that he knew in the company, and now he is a Grand Slam champion, and I think that's a phenomenal way to do it, in a great match with The Miz, who honestly had probably one of his best showings so far this year.
And he's had a lot of great matches.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think Finn Balor really, you know, he kind of sold himself out. I gotta say, the Seth Rollins picking Finn Balor up out on the outside and heading towards the barricade, it made my heart skip a beat, you know, for a second. I yelled audibly, "No!" Like, what are you doing? And you know, they turned it around and they told a story. They used something that you know, it had me as a worker being a fan, because I completely sold out for the pump fake. You know, they picked him up and he started moving, and I fully bit it. I was hooked from that point on.
So you're saying about the message that Finn Balor was trying to get across. Do you think that would have had more weight if he had become the Intercontinental Champion?
I feel like it would have made more headlines, in all honesty. Because you gotta think. It's like, yeah, you'll have ESPN covering WrestleMania, but say Finn Balor won after that enormous display. You know, you'll then have WWE.com, ESPN, you'll have all the LGBT blogs, you know, going out about it. It's just more eyes to the product. And that's why I think that they made a mistake picking Seth. Because Seth could have won the Intercontinental title at any point in his career. Let's just be honest. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. But Finn Balor is hot right now. And I think that it would have been the momentum boost that his career needed. And like I said, that huge display was well worth getting a few more eyes on the biggest product at the biggest time of the year. That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah. No, I thought the whole story going in was just, I knew Seth was going to win, because the whole story going in was this grand champion. That's all he talked about for a month. But I still thought they could have swerved us. There's rumours that The Miz was going to win and then probably lose it last night. That was the rumour I heard going in. And then he was going to take some time off with his new baby.
I could see that. That makes sense.
But it looks like, well, based on the spoilers from last night, it looks like it's going to be The Miz, Seth Rollins, a Backlash. Unless they do the triple threat match again.
They could probably work it into a triple threat. Simply because I don't see Finn being done with this just yet. Or it might even become a fatal four-way now that Jeff Hardy got involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen Raw, Jeff Hardy's back. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. Nick's not here. You can do as many Raw spoilers as you want.
That's true.
Alright, so next was Charlotte Flair defeating Oscar. I loved Charlotte's entrance. It's great the way it paid homage to Charlotte being part of Triple H's at 31, was it, I think? When she met... She was part of his harem at the top.
No, yeah. 31 was the Terminator.
Oh, 30. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah, 30.
But, yeah, it was a great entrance. It was a great match. I think looking overall at how it went, you know, I thought it was a great moment for everybody involved. Yes, Oscar streaked over on the grandest stage of them all, but I think everyone kind of went in saying, Oscar's going to win the thing. She's undefeated. Why would she be on the grandest? It's cemented Charlotte's, you know, legacy at this point. It's cemented her as one of four horsewomen. It's cemented her as being the woman to lead that revolution. And I think that's phenomenal. I think it's great things for her. And I felt like, you know, she's the bar. She is exactly where women want to be in this industry. And I put her up there. She is literally her dad for women's issues. She is running now.
I can wholeheartedly agree.
Did either of you find it slightly underwhelming, the end of the streak? Because I thought possibly if Oscar passed it out or she stayed, because she tapped out really quickly.
I don't think she tapped out quickly, because honestly, she was wrenching it for a while. Like, for a while. I'm still torn about the streak being over, but I think it's on a selfish level, simply because for almost 1,000 days, we have watched this woman tear through competition no matter what brand it was. And it was her first WrestleMania. She was the winner of the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. Why not have cemented that more? Why not have made it mean something? Which, again, we'll go on further about that. Spoiler. It's one of those weird things where it's like, if you build up something so credible for so long, why? I'm so torn.
I think the reason that it was built up so much, though, is because of the fact that, you know, here we are with Charlotte, who arguably can't be really that strong, having won the title that many times. Also, she's lost it that many times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you get somebody like Asuka who comes in, and it's this powerhouse. We expect her to win. And she went on to win. And the one thing that annoyed me about the pitch when they were talking about WrestleMania and Asuka was, oh, she survived. She outlasted 29 Angel Women. She came in at 25. Okay? She didn't outlast 29 other women. She got a good pick and lasted.
It's been that way with the Rumble for years, though. It's like, you can come in number 30, I beat 29 men. Really? Did you?
But yeah, and it just gets on my, it got on my nerves, because I'm like, no, if Asuka would have come in at one, she would have Shawn Michaels it and won the whole thing. I obviously know that wouldn't happen, but had she done that, she could, you know, they could use the, oh, she outlasted 29 other women. No, you didn't. Did not outlast 29 other women. So, I think that Asuka had a kind of an air of confidence, you know. She was undefeated in NXT. She handed over her title and NXT, came to the main roster, went undefeated on the main roster, won the Women's World Rumble. I think that there was that air of confidence, you know, you're the queen, but I'm the empress. I'm the Empress of Mars. Like, there was that massive air of confidence above her that I feel led to her making one miscue. Boom, Charlotte takes over. Shows why she's queen. Shows why she's the best. Shows why she's on top. Earned Asuka's respect. You know, because Asuka thought, I'm going to go in there and I beat everybody else. So I feel like there was a good story that was told, and I understand why selfishly you wish Asuka would have won. Because selfishly, I wish Asuka would have. I love Asuka. Not as much as you, but I love Asuka. I think that she's a great character. I think she's a great wrestler. But I don't think that her winning would have had the same effect as Charlotte Flair winning.
See, guys, I completely disagree. As Chris knows, I've wanted this streak to end for at least a very short while.
I think my favorite part about this is he let us go on about how great the streak was before he's like, actually.
I didn't want to be rude and interrupt. No, she is a fantastic wrestler, and like Eric just said, that is fantastic storytelling, you know, coming through NXT with the streak, to come onto the main roster, and to go through everyone, and then to get cocky and arrogant, and maybe have that air of confidence, like you said, and then that one mistake, and she taps out to, you know, the absolute best female wrestler in the, WWE. I was kind of thinking, going into this match, if Asuka loses the streak, what's the backlash going to be to Charlotte Flair because of how they've built her up? But the match was fantastic, and I don't think Asuka lost anything by losing the streak. And if you're going to lose it, you lose it to the best person possible, don't you?
I agree with that.
I think we can all agree, though, had Asuka won, and then Carmella came out and beat her, we all would have been.
Believe it or not, I don't know how upset I would have been.
I just don't know.
I have been calling for this damn briefcase to be cashed in since she won it.
We have a group chat for all of the IndyCar Mafia.
I have laid out so many different possible angles that made absolute sense for her to cash in, and just, they never happened. So I just stopped calling it. No, I called it again. I called it again later.
Card Mafia. Just we have this group chat in Card Mafia where Tommy, literally after every women's title match, was like, "Here she comes! She's coming out! She's actually in it!" And I'm like, "It's not going to happen. It's really not."
So how do you think? She's got 6 weeks to do it, hasn't she? So.
No. It was at Money in the. Is it Money in the Bank in July?
17th of June, Money in the Bank this year.
Ah, June. Okay.
So, well, I don't know if I don't know, with Charlotte just winning against Oscar and Nia Jax, I can't see unless Nia Jax gets completely beaten down by somebody in the next couple of weeks, and somehow she moves to Raw. So I can't see her beating Charlotte after she's just beat Oscar in the next couple of weeks.
Jesus Christ, come on, man.
I mean, we can also see what happens tonight on SmackDown with, you know, the big call-ups happening, and then the Superstar Shake-Up next week.
Yeah.
You know, there's something possible that could happen there. Like, say, I don't know, a certain Nikki Cross, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does anyone else get the feeling that she's going to cash in and lose?
I would hope that's not the case. Just like... Alright, see, it goes back to my Asuka situation, where you had her win the first ever Women's Royal Rumble, and she didn't win the belt. Why have Carmella hold on to this briefcase for so long, winning the first ever Women's Money in the Bank twice, just for her to lose?
Yeah.
Like, make it mean something. Just like when Edge cashed in the first ever Money in the Bank against Cena after he went through the Elimination Chamber, it meant something. Make it mean something.
Alright, so next up we had the US title match. Oliver, you're one step closer to your American Indian Championship you were talking about.
Say American Indian, I said Canadian.
He's Canadian! We're all Canadian!
I hate you, Chris.
Alright, so Aiden English came out with a shaved head. Could this be a rip by the guys because he was the first out in the Battle Royal? Maybe the first person else had to shave their head. I can't think of a reason why he had hair earlier in the night.
It took me forever to realize that's what happened. It took until me watching the replay on the YouTube channel to realize, wait a minute, he had hair.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, what did I miss?
Aiden English in the Battle Royal had a full head of hair, but when he came out during the US title match, he'd shaved his head. So I was thinking, could it be a rib by the lads? Because he was the first one out of the
album. Oh my god! I didn't realize that! That's great!
I didn't realize it either, to be honest, Eric, until Chris said.
I just can't think of a reason why, unless it's just a thing. You first out the battle royal, you had your head shaved. That's all I can think of. So what were you thinking of Jinder Mahal winning the title then? Because Rusev should have won. So.
I hate it. Not because I don't like Jinder Mahal, but because they made it a four-way, and again, back to my logic, they made it a four-way and added Rusev, make it mean something.
Rusev was the most over guy.
Exactly. Think of how loud that crowd would have been Rusev Day. If he won.
The entire time leading up to the show, you could hear the crowd in the back. They were chanting two things. Yes, and Rusev Day. Those were the two things that people really cared about the most out of everything in that show leading up to it, was Rusev Day and Daniel Bryan. And the fact that Rusev came out to an amazing response, a guy who have, I'm just going to steal this line, he made a chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Yeah.
And he literally just, he took it and he ran with it. And this Rusev Day thing has been probably the best thing for his career. Got the Bulgarian brute. This guy was big and mean and untouchable. Had an undefeated streak. That meant
he lost
that in his manager. What happened? He just became kind of a mid-card, like, meh, it's Rusev. Like, you see Rusev, he's mean, he's angry, he's Bulgarian. But that's really it. And then he disappeared for a little bit. And then when he came back and they had the Rusev Day blew up. It became a cult classic, essentially. And he ran with it. And I love every second of it. And I wish he would have won. Like Tom said, I think Jinder Mahal's great. I think he's going to be a great champion. I don't think that they should have put this on.
There's three key points with this match. One, you've got Rusev's popularity. Two, the fact that he's been a fantastic United States champion in the past. And three, he's the one that took the pinfall when he's the most popular guy obviously in the match and one of the most popular guys in the company. It was just a shocking decision.
Could there be a roundabout way thinking this is how they're going to turn him face, even though he has face, but in WWE eyes, he's still a heel, that get him to chase Jinder Mahal will make him more, even more popular and make him, like, solidify him as a face?
You would think that that's what they're going for, but at the same point in time, I have learned to never fully expect anything, because I know I'm just going to end up disappointed.
It goes back to what you said before as well, Thomas. If you're going to do something in terms of a total change instead of Finn Balor, surely you do it on the biggest stage possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But with regards to Jinder Mahal, I think he will be, a good champion. It would be really cool if they did, change the United States Championship into the Indian Championship, and he kind of played the role of, Lance Storm in WCW. I think that would be a really cool, to have somebody like Rusev chasing then, and, the other competitors on SmackDown. I think that would really work. I think he would get the same kind of reaction that he got when he was the WWE champion. So,
yeah.
It is a good thing to work with, but it should have been Rusev, definitely.
Wholeheartedly. Right, next up, probably my match of the night was Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey defeating Triple H and Steph.
That match.
Ronda Rousey
was...
can throw. all I gotta say is Ronda Rousey. I had such low expectations.
Oh, I had no expectations for this match.
Every chance I had, I was defending Ronda Rousey. Yes, her first match, WrestleMania. Yes, her first match is against essentially the boss's daughter and the boss's daughter's husband. So you know it's not gonna be bad, but you're just wondering how good it could really be. And then Kurt Angle comes into play, and Kurt Angle's in the fold. And then, as soon as he comes out and you see the look on his face, and you go, one, it is amazing to see Kurt Angle walk into the ring in that singlet and his gold medal. Two,
it's amazing to see
I never
Kurt
thought
Angle
this
walking.
Moment was going to happen again. Yeah, I never thought we would see that again. And then three, when Joan Jett hit the PA system there and Ronda Rousey came out in Piper's jacket, I'm not going to lie, I shed a tear. Why?
Oh,
it's
I absolutely
a heartwarming moment. Because I literally, I sent a message to Tommy, I go, I'm ugly crying, I miss Piper so much. it was an amazing moment. You could see, just pure happiness on the face of Ronda Rousey, because she was getting to live her dream, That's awesome, and anybody wants to try and take away from that, they can find a short period, take a long walk. She killed it. She had a better match than some of the main roster on the card. She told a story. And honestly, a couple times, I was like, I hope she breaks somebody's arm for real.
A couple times? You said it four times. It was horrifying.
During the entrance, as soon as I saw the motorcycles, I was like, we're not getting American Badass Undertaker. I hope she breaks both the arms.
I love that. I love that on the, was it the Raw before? She goes, what hand are you? She goes, I'm right-handed, so I'm going to break your left arm so you can still sign my checks. That was a great line.
That caught me so much. I love that.
But,
that match was way better than it had any business being. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, there seems to be, all they taught Steph, if it was a real kayfabe, they taught Steph how to not get in an armbar. That seems to be the move she's learned how to do. Just hold your hands together. But, I don't know, it was, I loved it. So.
See, the thing is for me with this match, I was thinking one of two things. I either want Rosie to go in and just tap Stephanie out straight away when I was watching the beginning of the match. And then as it progressed, I was like, this is an unbelievable performance. And she was the absolute star of the show. And
absolutely.
Just back to what the guys were saying about Roddy Piper, it was mentioned that maybe Rousey would have a manager going forward and stuff, and I was just thinking to myself, imagine if Roddy Piper was Rousey's manager.
Right.
That'd be so cool.
It would have been great.
Yeah, I think she does need to fight.
You're crying.
I think she does need to find some new gear, though, because she does spend most of the match adjusting herself, I noticed. So.
I mean, I think that was more of a nervous tick than anything.
Was it?
You know, she had a moment to breathe, whereas in UFC, she essentially wore the same thing in UFC.
Mm.
But in the UFC, in the Octagon, you don't have a moment to think about how you look. And when you're at WrestleMania, and you're wearing custom gear that's got your name across the front, and you're trying to look the best while playing the best, and you get a little bit of a downtime during a match, you go, oh shit, I hope my tit doesn't pop out. Oh, is my ass cheek showing? Like, I would be doing the same thing. I'd be like, hey, I gotta make sure, like, everything's... I do! I adjust my kick pads all the time.
Next up was the Bludgeon Brothers winning the SmackDown titles. I don't have many notes on this. Of little people doing the worm.
That's it. That's the only note.
That one hits close to home for me. That one hits really close to home for me. Luke Harper came up in my area.
Yeah.
You know, I saw some of his first matches when I was a kid going to independent shows.
Was he Brody Lee back then?
Best stuff when he was in Chikara. And I saw some of his best stuff when he was getting ready to leave for the WWE. So, to see him on the biggest stage of them all, winning a tag team title in, I would say, glorious fashion.
Yeah, it was pretty much a squash match.
They had a great match. And, you know, I think that I called it. I said I wanted them to win on every podcast that would let me go on and tell my part leading into WrestleMania. I said I wanted the Bludgeon Brothers to win because I don't know how much longer I could go with Uso's New Day fighting for the tag team titles. I mean, Uso and New Day, both amazing tag teams. On their own, against each other, but they've done it all. What more could they do with it?
Kill each other, honestly.
But they did, and Hell in a Cell.
I think they need to move to. I think the Usos need to move to Raw, just to freshen things up, I think.
Absolutely. Somebody needs to move to Raw.
Bring the Revival over to SmackDown and just get them back on track, because it's awful what they're doing with the Revival at the moment.
I think in regards to this match, it was great seeing the Usos on the main WrestleMania card. Shouldn't have waited this long to be in that position. And then the only thing that needed to happen that match was the Bludgeon Brothers winning it, really, like you guys have said.
Yeah, but see, now here's the thing. If that's what I was going to get on the main roster, well, on the main card, shit, I would have taken my chances just, you know, doing the pre-show at that point.
Right?
Yeah, I could have put that on the pre-show and had that. Because I still can't believe the Cruiserweight Championship wasn't on the main card after the build-up they've given that.
That was 2 years in a row. It was never going to happen. It was never going to happen.
Yeah, but in the lead-up to this and all our podcasts, I was jokingly saying it's going to be on the pre-show, thinking it was going to be the opening match.
So it's your fault, Chris.
It's my fault, yeah.
truthfully, I thought the SmackDown Tag Team match was going to be on, you know, the pre-show.
I had at least one of the Battle Royals on the main show.
They realized that the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is a throwaway, and although it was a great idea, it just, they've done nothing with it.
If they had the winner go for the secondary title or something, it could...
Yeah, but they've done nothing with it. Baron Corbin, when he won it, he literally would just stand next to it before his match. Like,
but
he's
gone on to
win
the
other stuff. You beat guys in a battle royal. Like, on the indies, we call those ticket seller battle royals. And the guy who wins sells the most tickets. So did Baron Corbin sell the most tickets for WrestleMania out of his pocket? Like, come on. Like, what's the deal? He might have.
Do you guys remember the ROH number one contenders trophy?
Yes, I do.
What if it was defended like that?
That's fine, because FCW, the territory before NXT, they had the Jack Briscoe 15 medal, which was essentially a number one contendership, as well as being a different title, even though it wasn't a physical belt. Either way, like, it was defended, and we had some great matches from FCW, like Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. We've had Ono versus Cesaro. They were great. If it was defended like that and made to matter more than just, oh yeah, he won this trophy, he did it at Mania, he had his moment, it would be fantastic, and it would matter so much more to me. Like, Give them a title shot. Give them something. Something. Make it mean something. I feel like I'm repeating myself.
Also, if they got a US or an intercontinental title shot out of it, at least there's something.
Yeah, absolutely. Give them the secondary belt shot. Like, something. The Rumble winner gets the heavyweight title shot at Mania. The Battle Royal winner at Mania gets the secondary title shot. Like, just something.
Even if they did it, you get added to that title match that night or something. You don't have to win, but you're in the title match later that night.
Yeah, yeah. That would work too.
Just when you were talking about FCW there, Thomas, you didn't mention Seth Rollins against Dean Ambrose, and that's probably one of the best feuds in FCW history.
Absolutely. Was it Steamboat and Rollins? I know Richie was in. I'm trying to think of, like, I think I watched the most matches between him and Seth Rollins, truthfully, for that medal.
Yeah, you need to check out those Ambrose Rollins matches. They were amazing.
Should we move on to the Undertaker defeating John Cena in 3 minutes?
I am so happy about that match, because that match was everything it needed to be.
Were either of you, any of you, disappointed we didn't get American Badass Undertaker with Kid Rock doing the entrance? Or...
I'm super disappointed. If there's one thing I tuned in for WrestleMania for, it was to see Kid Rock come out. Like, when I saw Elias come out, I was like, perfect. Give me Kid Rock or Jeff Jarrett to smash a guitar over his face. And then Kid Rock comes out and goes, I'm an American Badass. Undertaker, straight down the ramp. Like, it would have been perfect.
Yeah. I was really disappointed, but I don't know, it was kind of cool what they did with putting his gear in the middle of the ring and having the weird lightning hit it and stuff. But do you think this will...
Oh my god, I've seen better graphics than Sega
game. Wow. Kid Rock wasn't part of the show at all, was he, apart from the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he just stood on the stage, the Hall of Fame. That was just
his theme song technically was the song that he did was technically the theme song, but I mean, let's be honest here. We had Snoop Dogg 1 year. He was part of the show.
His cousin is also a WWE superstar.
Mm.
No? Okay. I'm sorry.
I have to say at this point though, John Cena as a wrestling fan was amazing.
Yeah, I did enjoy him in the crowd. But
John Cena just should have kept getting progressively and progressively more drunk and belligerent throughout the night.
I was going to say, do you think this is leading to a match between them next year where John can say, I'd had 5 beers and I wasn't ready for you?
I truthfully hope not. Hopefully this is the end for Taker. He went out, you know, the right way. WrestleMania nonetheless.
This hit replacement looks like he's 100% success because he wasn't hobbling like he was last year.
No, not at all.
And he looked amazing.
That's something to take away from it too. It's like, everybody's like, oh, well, this match should have went longer. Why? If that match went longer, we would have had a repeat of last year with Reigns where Taker couldn't even help. You know, Reigns reversed the tombstone.
No.
Where everything was just giving out on him. Like, why? Why do that? Logically, why do that?
Because people are selfish. But it is nice to see that Undertaker had one superpower, and that is the fact that he can see John Cena.
Thanks for that meme, Eric. I've only seen it 12 times. I hate you.
You're welcome. I can keep pumping him out if you want.
Oh, please don't.
Next up, we had Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon defeating Owens and Zayn. I think this match took a while to get going because for some reason they thought taking Bryan out at the beginning would be good for the crowd.
Well, it was smart.
When that happened, truthfully, I went, oh, this is great. They're not going to let him get anything. They chanted yes, they got their money. This is it. It doesn't matter anymore.
The crowd literally died for 10 minutes until Bryan got in the ring.
Daniel Bryan got back in.
I don't know. I was so mad about that because as soon as it happened and he got knocked down and he grabbed his head. Tommy messages me and goes, that's it. That's it. Can't get home. Might as well just go home now. Nobody's going to care. Mm-hmm. And the match slowly started getting worse and worse. Not because of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but because of Shane McMahon. They want us to believe. Now, we have an MMA star in Ronda Rousey. We have an MMA star in Brock Lesnar. Both who throw punches and bunches. And they make contact. Shane McMahon looks like a schoolyard 12-year-old fighting off the biggest bull he can.
Mm.
But hey,
he has Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu training and kickboxing training, sir.
He's never physically used it in a real fight. He's not Brock Lesnar. He is not Ronda Rousey. When he started because he threw those punches against KO in the Hell in a Cell. Like, and they looked fine. But the fact of the matter is you're on a show with people who, that's their strength. Why show your weakest part of your game? Like, all those, like, flurry punches, they looked horrible. And it took me out of it.
I think the concerning part of the match is Brian is coming back and he's been cleared. And like you said, he got taken out at the end of the match. And Shane McMahon's arrested injured, according to all the stuff that was reported. So, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, it would have made sense the other way around.
This guy has, diverticulitis, which is what Brock Lesnar had when he fought the UFC.
See, they're so similar!
No, they're not. They're not.
Kevin Steen had F5 that he called deep sea diverticulitis. So, hey, they're similar.
I hate you so much. I guess bottom line, the best thing to take away from this entire thing is that Daniel Bryan didn't look like he missed a step. Watching Daniel Bryan, that first kick he threw, the sound it made, thud it made, it echoed through the Superdome. I have heard NFL hits in that stadium. I watched Reggie Bush get murdered in that stadium by Ray Lewis one day, and it didn't sound that loud.
It's funny that you mentioned Ray Lewis and murder in the same sentence.
I know. Where's the white suit, guy?
I quit.
See, I know that Brian's incredibly popular, but was anyone else hoping that he'd turn and join with Zayn and Owens?
That was my prediction.
I truthfully thought it was going to happen.
So did I. I had a really small hope that was going to happen, but then when Shane and Brian won, I went, they just said they were smart fired from SmackDown. They never said anything about Raw.
Yeah,
like, that was my immediate first thought.
That's why they showed up.
But that was my immediate thought. And I was okay with it, you know? I was okay with it.
Yeah, they could have left them on telly for a couple of weeks, at least.
I'm curious to see what they do next.
I'd love them to start
bring back Generico.
Yeah, that's what they did. They could have done Generico and just put Kevin in a mask as well for some reason.
Just Kevin.
Yeah.
Just Kevin. He's just Kevin.
Just Kevin and Generico. Just have them wrestle like that for a couple of weeks.
El Dean and El Generico.
Next up, Nia Jax defeated Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship. I'm not many notes on this. Pretty much a squash. Storyline going in. They couldn't have done anything else, really.
Match that was way better than it had any business in being.
Yeah, I did like the Alexa Bliss. Every time she needed to get back into it, she had to rake the eyes and then work on the leg. It was good storytelling that way. But,
absolutely.
My favorite part of that entire match is when Nia screamed at her and Alexa
I loved you.
Back in such fear.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard happened. Just watching Nia go,
My fiance replayed that part for me like 43 times in a row, and I could not stop laughing. It was fantastic. Truthfully, my favorite part as well.
No, I did like.
Away from the match.
I did like when Nia Jax was swinging Mickie James into the barriers.
Oh my god, it was gross.
It was fantastic. It was so brutal.
With Hulk and Loki.
Yeah. Puny humans. Oliver, would you like it?
I'm just wondering what the guys thought about the story leading into the match. You know, this kind of talking about, you know, a person and how they are kind of like bullying and picking on somebody. It's obviously very frowned upon in society. Do you like the fact that it still is used to kind of sell wrestling matches?
I think the big thing that they wanted to sell with that was, you know, especially in that, to the wrestling, the hardcore wrestling fans and the workers, the promoters, you know, it's kind of a weird play, and, you know, we don't like it, but, you know, when it plays to the kids in the audience, you know, it's more stand up for yourself, don't be pushed over, don't be talked down to, don't let somebody, you know, say bad things to you, because, you know, you can come out on top, we'll make it, you know, just remember at the end of the day, words are just words, and if you're a stronger person mentally, you can be a stronger person physically. So, I mean, I think that's where they're trying to go with it. Do I think it was successful? Not really, but, I, you know, that's why I'm here and they're there. They're making the big bucks. Well, I'll let them make their calls.
It's just funny how you never have storylines like this in the men's division. You never have a man saying, oh, you're dead fat, to another man. So, they want to do things equal. So next up.
I think Matt Choice to answer your question, Chris. Yeah, I thought it was a good match. Alexa plays the coward really well. Naya's moment was like always going to happen, I thought. And she probably should have had the Raw Women's title before this WrestleMania. There's been a few occasions when she could have, but, you know, going back to what the guy said about, you know, winning things on the biggest stage, it's perfect to do a title change on WrestleMania. And with what Eric said, it shines a light on the fact that you can overcome adversity, which is a really great message to share.
Yeah, so next up was, before we get into the match, how good was Nakamura's entrance? I loved it.
I loved every single second of it. It is the WrestleMania entrance, like the greatest WrestleMania entrance of all time. I'm probably being super exaggeratory, but I loved it.
So I would say Nakamura's entrance stole the show for entrance. I mean, we had some cool ones, but Nakamura's was the best. I mean, for me to be able to, my son, 3 years old.
Yeah.
Aside from Tommy, is the biggest Shinsuke Nakamura fan I know. And I think I can kind of blame that from the time that Tommy lived with me and all we watched Japan and Shinsuke Nakamura and Finn Balor and Kenny Omega. And so I think my son came up with a lot of really cool, old school, I can't even really say old school, but not modern Japanese wrestling into the modern era of Japanese wrestling. And so he understands those guys. Them. And then when he came to the WWE, my son lost mine. Like, if you ask my son his favorite wrestler, he will sing to you Shinsuke Nakamura's theme song. So, when he heard that guitar go, blah, 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 it, like, he lit up. And I saw the expression on his face when he saw Shinsuke on stage. And so, for me, that was the entrance of the night, just because of the fact that there was so much raw emotion just from that one guitar riff.
Oh, it's brilliant.
And then when he danced his way to the ring, like, my daughter was like, oh, man, he dances funny. And I'm like, he always dances funny, Delilah. This is just the way it is. It's Shinsuke. You'll understand someday. But I think, honestly, he had one of the better WrestleMania entrances. Had Finn Balor done Demon Balor, he probably would have taken it. But Shinsuke, entrance of the night.
Yeah, I thought the match was alright, I thought. But it's more about the aftermath. So you said, Eric, you said you're a massive fan of New Japan. So are you happy with having a heel Nakamura back?
I'm going to say yes because of this, you know, one reason. Wrestle Kingdom 10, you know, Shinsuke got his win over AJ.
Yeah.
So what better way to do it than give AJ the win over Shinsuke here? You know, so we kind of have that wrestling rubber match now that where we are going to have heel Shinsuke Nakamura versus Dr. Mom Babyface AJ Styles. And I think it's going to tell a great story. You know, being able to see Shinsuke outside of the element of what we've seen him in so far will be mind-blowing. And I'm sure Tommy can give you way more about how excited he is about Shinsuke being heel than I could.
I'm so happy.
Overwhelmingly excited. Tommy, literally, as soon as it happens, because after Shinsuke lost, I turned off WrestleMania and I said, I'm going to bed. Because I just, I had, my point for wrestling that day, because I had watched all of TakeOver that morning and part of the Hall of Fame into the pre-show for Mania, and I watched all of the pre-show of Mania. So I was at like 12 some odd hours of wrestling at that point. I was like, I've had enough. Shinsuke Nakamura didn't win. I'm going to bed. And I turned it off. As soon as that three count happened, I was like, I am done. It is over for this. I'm going to bed. My phone vibrates less than 15 seconds after I turn off my PlayStation 4 that I was streaming on. And it just says, Heelsuke?
Heelsuke!
What? And I was like, what? And he goes, dude, you just missed so much. And I was like, what do you mean I missed so much? And he says, I can't even begin to explain to you. So the next morning when I turned it on and I watched the whole match back with my son, I get to the end and I'm like, I'm not turning it off now. I know what happened. And just the kicks to the face, the blatant disrespect, the disregard for friendship, just all out the window.
Yeah.
And it was just like, so like arrogant, like good vibrations through the bottom rope, but he's just going, oh, and I'm just watching him kick him in the back of the head, and I'm like, this is phenomenal. Absolute pun intended, but it was phenomenal.
I thought it was a good callback to Charlotte's Oscar mask alien.
That was our WrestleMania, our big WrestleMania moment was the Shinsuke heel turn. Because this guy, you know, is all about honor. He's all about, you know, wanting to be the best. And, you know, leading up to WrestleMania, he always says, you know, no knee. I'm gonna put my knee through your face at WrestleMania, but I'm not going to hit you with it now. You know, they saved each other. Mm. They had those moments where they showed such honor and respect for each other. And then for Shinsuke just to lose it and hit him square in the dick, like, come on, man. It was perfect.
It was, yeah.
Which, going back to earlier with the Asuka Rumble win, which I alluded to earlier, like, both Asuka and Shinsuke Nakamura were the first ever Japanese-born winners of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Neither one of them won. Neither one of them, you know, especially Shinsuke, there has never been a Japanese WWE champion. People can sit there and say it's Yokozuna, but Yokozuna wasn't really Japanese.
Samoan was. His character was Japanese, though.
Yeah, his character was Japanese, but he indeed was Samoan.
Yeah.
It's, for me, Shinsuke losing, it hurt as a fan of Shinsuke, as a long-term fan of Shinsuke Nakamura, but at that same point in time, seeing what happened afterwards made it perfectly fine, and I think he had a bigger moment doing that than he would have actually winning the belt. And I think that's the difference between Asuka's loss and Shinsuke's loss. Mm. And if Asuka had done the same thing earlier, I don't think it would have made that much of a difference, because
she's quite tweeny anyway, Asuka, isn't she? So
yeah, she's always been that tweener, that cocky, confident kind of baby face that, you know, it's right there on the border of, oh well, she's an asshole, to, oh no, wait, she's really good. She's good. Look at this reaction. To Shinsuke, who's been straight babyface from his debut in NXT till WrestleMania, and for that to happen, mind-blowing, so huge. And the crowd's reaction reflected that. I think that's what made it a better moment than him winning, made it a better moment than him winning the belt would have. Now that I got my English on.
Oliver, what are your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, I think people's expectations of the match were sky high. So I believe, you know, from the reactions and stuff, it was a really good match, but I think everyone expected it to be out of this world, and it wasn't.
No.
I think if they want to see a great, you know, a really great match, it's what Thomas alluded to earlier, the Wrestle Kingdom 10 match on New Japan World, they need to go and watch that one, and they'll see AJ and Shinsuke Nakamura at the best. You know, with no time restraints kind of thing. You know, the guys are correct about the, you know, the turn. It definitely will be a WrestleMania moment. And then, obviously, when we did a preview of this year and stuff, I fancy booked Styles versus Nakamura for the title over 3 or 4 pay-per-views, and you can do the exact same thing in this instance. So
yeah, so I was going to say, were they told not to have the match everyone's expecting because they knew they were going to have this amazing ending, and then it'll lead on to a 6-month-long feud possibly. Maybe they could hot potato the title for a couple of months, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, don't blow your load in one match, possibly. I don't know. So, next up, probably my the funnest match, but the most stupidest match. Braun Strowman and Nicholas defeating the Bar.
Just going back to that. It's basically what we said through the whole show. In terms of if you know, to make a big statement and stuff, you make it on the biggest stage.
Yeah.
So yes, they can trade the title back on, you know, the different pay-per-views and things of that nature. But if the title change had happened at WrestleMania, hasn't, and you know, we've gone a different way and stuff, but that's going to be the you know, the biggest change. And with New Japan's expansion into you know, America, it might have been a really good idea to put the title on Shinsuke Nakamura. I know we've gone another way, and I just want to throw that out to the guys. With New Japan's expansion into America, should Shinsuke Nakamura win the title?
I say yes at some point, but only when a proper footing is held. Like, I wouldn't do it immediately. I would still wait, but I definitely would put the WWE Championship on him at some point.
I agree. It's very
hit and miss right now, because it's a slow expansion. They're not sitting there and rapidly trying to take over, you know, the Americas. They're being smart with it. And I think within the next 6 to 7 months, Shinsuke Nakamura should be the WWE champion, simply because they will have such competition. But that's, again, my opinion, and I could be completely wrong. I've been wrong before, and I'll be wrong again.
So it'll definitely make sense. So.
You say that though, Thomas, but New Japan has you know, said they're going to do a couple of shows here in the UK, and the WWE responded straight away a few days earlier with this new UK Championship Tournament number one contender. They're doing two shows. So WWE obviously knows that there's something going on there, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I fully expect them to run the West Coast more, being the fact that that's where, you know, New Japan is going to be based out of for its U.S. headquarters, is out of Los Angeles. So I expect them to run the West Coast a lot more, because they're going to be able to do it more often than New Japan is.
Yeah.
So I fully expect them to take advantage of that. It's just, I don't know how much of a threat the WWE sees New Japan as at this point in time. And I think that's what's going to be the big difference maker, is how big of a threat do you see New Japan as, and what do you need to do to go forward? Because New Japan has the hearts of every indie fan. Let's just be honest. New Japan, Ring of Honor, they are where indie eyes are set. Do you try to take that audience away from them to make sure that you are indeed the big dog? Are you that concerned? Or do you sit there and continue to do what you were always doing? I think that's truthfully what it comes down to. Once again, I feel like I'm repeating myself, and I apologize for that.
Look the way you said big dog and your dog barked.
I'm a bee.
All right, so next up was Braun Strowman and Nicholas defeating the Bar. This was fun, but
I love
stupid.
It. I love it so much.
Did anybody else expect one of the people in the Big Head to be revealed as one of his partners? When the Bar came out of all them people with Big Heads, I was like, oh, one of them is going to be his partner. He's going to be revealed.
I truthfully thought it was going to be Lashley at some point.
No, Lashley's a new one.
But it wasn't. And it was great.
I did like, as I said, it was really fun, but it was just stupid.
Let's be honest. He sat there and said that he didn't need anybody,
no,
but they were making him get somebody. So he literally pulled out anybody he could. I think, truthfully, the part that shocked me was that he actually made a tag to
yeah.
the kid. I think that's
no,
the part.
Even if just for a second, he made the tag. So it's kind of like that spot in Beer Fest where they're like, they run up and they're like, hey, names yet, so they will be disqualified and they'll have to forfeit.
Yeah.
So he just like, he reached over and was like, tag. The kid gets in the ring. And you see Cesaro just go, I'm going to kill this kid. Like, I was really hoping they were going to let him open a big swing. How awesome is that? Just swinging the kid around in a circle. And he probably just runs in and is like, nope. Stop. Hits the ground and that's the finish right there. Mm. Like, I would have lost my mind. But in New Orleans, and the commission would have never let that happen.
No.
Yes, they would have, because the commission doesn't control the WWE.
Anyway, but I still...
However, that's endangering the welfare of a child.
It would have been amazing. But, you know, it was still a good match. I mean, realistically, it seems back to when you were a kid and you were watching wrestling, like, and they said, I'm going to need a partner tonight, and then music hit. Like,
yeah.
Wouldn't you have just loved to be the kid in the crowd where he's like, you, get in the ring. Like, that was just it was a moment for the kids, man. It wasn't a moment for us adults, parkour fans.
Mm.
Like, that was a moment for the kids to, like, regardless of who the kid was or, you know, how he got there, like, you know, that was just, it was a cool moment, man. And that's really what it's got to be taken for. Like, everyone's going to remember Nicholas and Ron winning the tag titles.
Well,
but at the same point in time, I mean, it's a testament to Braun's strength. I mean, the guy made one tag in the entire match and still managed to
beat the guy. That's it. He's down now as the youngest champion of all time. I don't know what Jermaine Dupri has done wrong to them. He's been
beat out Rene Dupri. Yeah. He beat out Tyler Bate. It's awful.
So, Nicholas did turn out to be the referee's son. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, John Cole, is it called? John Cone?
John Cone.
Yeah.
The thing is with this, I was watching it, WrestleMania, spoiler free on Monday. I had all my social medias up and stuff. And my dad brings me out the blue, and he's like, the wrestling was talked about on one of the local, you know, news channels here in the UK. And I was like, don't say anything, don't spoil it for me. And I think what he's referring to.
That's phenomenal. I mean, the cool thing about it, too, is, like, all the memes that came from it. Like,
yeah.
There's one out there that I saw where it's, like, it's just Nicholas standing in the ring right after the tag, and it just says, when you lied on your resume but still got the job. Like, that's, in a nutshell, that's exactly what it was. Like, this kid had no business being there but still got the job.
Mm.
And, like, I gotta say, like, did it well. Like,
you could barely hold that title up there.
Yo, that title almost landed on his head. If that kid would have if he would have lifted that title above his head and then fallen backwards, that would have been match of the night.
That would have been match of the night for you.
Struggle, big lift, falls backwards, drops himself in the belt. I would have peed Tommy's pants.
Why did my pants get involved?
You'd have been like, why am I covered in pee? How did I pee my own pants? And I would have been like, hey, guess what? I just peed your pants. Ah! That was funny.
I'm slightly concerned.
You should be. And how I'm able to teleport my piss an hour away.
Oh, so shall we finish on Brock Lesnar defeating Roman Reigns to retain the Universe title?
Oh, it was awesome!
I didn't get it. This is not the end of the story we've been told and fed for the last 3 years. Roman Reigns was meant to win.
I truthfully feel we for the last, 3 years now have seen Roman Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania, and the results have all been the same. Roman wins, Roman wins, Roman wins. And
hey man,
this is a
never
genuine
times in wrestling.
This is true. That's true.
Mm.
I didn't think about that.
You go for it once and you get it. You go for it twice, you get it. The third time, it's not going to work. It never does. It's like when you run into the boot in the corner. Eat the boot, and you get caught. Somebody breaks your neck.
It's like when Ric Flair goes to the top rope.
I don't know, I think in a vacuum, I think this match is quite entertaining, but not as an end of a 3-year story. It's almost as bad as the end of Lost. It's like,
don't you dare spoil that for me, Chris.
You've not seen the end of Lost.
It's been like 12 years. How have you not seen the end of Lost?
How have you not seen somebody making fun of the end of Lost? I gotta say,
I'm still mad at the end of Lost. It's been how many? I invested six years in that show.
My big prediction for this was, my big conspiracy theory for this was, yeah, so if he, you know, if he goes to the UFC as the WWE Universal Champion and he wins, you know, it helps legitimize our sport a little bit. If he loses, it takes away. But I really think that, like I said, this opens the door for multi-sport athletes to come in, kind of like Deion Sanders, you know, football and baseball, or, you know, where you get a guy who can go and play both sports and say, you know, I am doing this 365 days a year. If I'm not training for the WWE, I'm training for the UFC. So, you know, I think that opens the door for guys like Conor McGregor, too, to come in. You know, he's gone to boxing. He's going to be bringing Floyd Mayweather over to UFC. And then, what's the next thing for him? He's a character. He's always been a character. He's a character that makes money and is known worldwide. He has a brand. Could you imagine Conor McGregor versus Brock Lesnar in the WWE? Could you imagine Conor McGregor versus, realistically, anybody in the WWE? Hmm. I think it would be something where...
Conor McGregor versus John Cena would be money.
It would open up so many avenues. He's fought the best in boxing. Now imagine if he comes over to the WWE and he fights the best in the WWE. Now Conor McGregor becomes this guy who starts just taking on the best athletes in every sport, you know? So I feel like it opens up a lot of opportunity to bring in non-WWE fans into the WWE, take WWE fans, give them to the UFC, and broaden the horizons for everybody. Enrich the pot for everybody. Help put money in everybody's pocket. That's all wrestling's about, is putting money in everybody's pocket at the end of the day. You know, yeah, the big company wants to make the money, but bottom line really is going to be that everybody wants to leave with a piece of the pie. And what better way to do it than have Brock be a multi-sport athlete like he already is, and he's already proven to be. He's a collegiate champion. He played in the NFL. He wrestled for the WWE. Was an undisputed champion, was the WWE Universal Champion, was a heavyweight champion in the UFC. This guy has done a ton, and I don't think that he gets enough credit for what he's done. Hell, when he was UFC champion, his body was functioning at 70% capacity. So this is a guy that has the potential to broaden the horizons forever. And I think that's the most important thing to leave us with, is that, yeah, Brock Lesnar left champion. Thank God it's not Roman Reigns, right?
No,
but it also gives oh my God, is Brock actually going to show up? Oh my God, is Brock actually going to be here? Like, that's been the big story. Brock's a part-timer, Brock this, Brock that. Like, when is he going to lose? How is he going to lose? Is he going to go back to us? So it gives the WWE that eye in the public image now, because you're going to hear about it on the FCM. You're going to hear about it, you're going to read about it in sports pages of your newspapers. Brock Lesnar did that. This is making wrestling more important than it already is.
Nicholas is going to be Brock Lesnar.
Yo, please.
See, you say about crossovers between UFC and WWE, Eric. After Rousey's performance against Triple H, I wouldn't mind seeing Rousey against Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I mean, Rousey, I think Ronda Rousey against Shayna Baszler would be an amazing one.
Yeah, but they're teammates. That wouldn't happen. At least not right now.
I was going to say, how many guys are teammates in the WWE? How many guys are teammates on the indies that fight each other? Tommy.
Yeah, you're May 4th, Tommy.
You're fighting each other on the... Was it the 4th of May?
Why are you talking about my birthday?
Because I'm going to punch you in the face of your birthday.
That's fine.
So what were your thoughts on the show as a whole, then? Before we finish.
As a whole... I thoroughly enjoyed the show. Like, I feel like... It was one of the better WrestleManias of recent years. It was probably my favorite WrestleMania since WrestleMania 30. Ironically enough, in that same building.
Yeah.
I'm sick of outdoor WrestleManias. I think that they don't translate nearly as well as big arena shows. I want them to run at places like where the Vikings play football. I want to see them run in the Sky Dome in Toronto again. I want to see them go back to more indoor venues, because it's just, when you put a roof on everything, the atmosphere changes. I know that's weird to say, like, the outdoor shows are gimmicks, but WrestleMania next year in Jersey, I'm not even going to say
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
WrestleMania next year in New Jersey, where two teams share a stadium and they're both the home team somehow. In New Jersey, It was snowing this morning in New York. Okay? It's going to snow next year. They cannot strike lightning twice with that, because the last time they were in New York, they got lucky and it was like 70 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it rained.
Yeah, but there are going to be parkas. There are going to be Eskimos. Like,
no, there's no
angels.
All of it.
I don't think going back to the outdoor venues is. I don't think it's a good look. I think it's cheesy. Yes, it's cool because you can fit a ton of people in the stadium because it's a football stadium. But there's so many beautiful, amazing stadiums that are. Minnesota's a perfect example. Minnesota has everything. You know, it's a roundabout. Same with Indianapolis. Put it in the Lucas Oil Stadium like that. Indianapolis, why they have the NFL Combine there, because everything, the convention centers are all right there in the same area as the stadium. So you've now taken Super Bowl week in for football, or American football, for anybody listening in the UK. and you've taken this big event, and you've made it a week-long thing, and nobody really has to leave that, like, five-block radius of the stadium, because everything's there, you know? So it's just, like, I think that if they went to more domes for, like, stadiums, bigger cities. Like New Orleans, Louisiana is great because it's a great venue. It's a great city. People have fun just in the streets. I mean, the French Quarter's, you can see the stadium from the French Quarter. It's awesome. But you get to a place like New Jersey and it's outdoors and there's really not much near it except for the city, which is like 35 minutes, 40 minutes away by car without putting traffic into consideration and tolls into the city and then trains and parking. It's not for the average fan.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
And so it's like, people really need to take that into consideration when planning something like WrestleMania. Because, yeah, you're going to charge a couple hundred to a couple $1,000 a ticket. You've already written off half your fan base. You're going to get diehard, but you've already written off half your fan base. And then, you know, they want to go to Access, but it's, you know, 20 miles from their hotel because that's the nearest convention center that would be able to hold that big of an event. And then you've got, there's so much.
Actually, if I'm correct, they're holding Access and all the NXT stuff in Brooklyn at Barclays.
Yeah, at the Barclays Center. And so it's like, that's not even in the same state.
it's WrestleMania, New York, New Jersey. It's the same state. It's all the same thing.
Says Jersey is the armpit of the United States of America.
So, Oliver, what were your final thoughts before we...
Every time I have to drive through it to leave the city, I hate it.
Oliver?
Yeah, I'd just like to ask a quick question to Thomas about the main event. The multiple finishes in a match really takes me out of the match. And this obviously happens a lot in New Japan. Obviously, as a wrestler yourself, what do you think about the multiple finishes and the way they're used in a match?
I think, it's very different in Japan as it is in America, because in Japan, they all happen so seamlessly. Like, perfect example is how many knees Kenny Omega can throw before finally hitting the V-trigger, or before finally hitting the one-winged angel, and it's sometimes multiple one-winged angels. Same thing with Okada's Rainmaker, same thing with Naito's Destinos. They just come seamlessly. But it seems like in the WWE, you have that transition period before it. Like, you have Cena's five moves of doom, shoulder block, protoplex, five knuckle shuffle, attitude adjustment. Mm. It always happens in that sequence. In some way, shape, or form, those moves always, are right before it, are always a precursor to it. It's... Seeing Roman Reigns kick out of, what, three, four, five F5s? Four
seven,
F5s?
Seven.
I think there were a lot. 6 to 10, to be honest.
There were a lot. And meanwhile, you've seen people like Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, The Undertaker kicked out of two, or three. I think it was three. John Cena's gotten put down with one. The F5 is one of the most protected moves in the WWE, and I mean protected in terms of, nobody kicks out of it. For them to use Roman Reigns as this catalyst to have him kick out of so many of them, I feel feel diminishes the F5 as a move entirely. It's like, yeah, it's Brock's move and Brock Lesnar is the beast, but you've taken this move that has destroyed so many countless superstars on the rare appearances that you've been on to now, at WrestleMania nonetheless, being kicked out of multiple times. So why? What is the point? And then Roman Reigns' Superman punch is another perfect example, because it took him, what, 4 Superman punches, and then Brock hit him with an F5 anyway?
Mm.
Like, they don't protect finishes in the WWE as much as they used to. And I think that's one of the key differences between them and Japan, is that they're trying to be what the modern fan wants and still stuck in their old school ways where it has to be a certain way. And I don't know. I don't like it in the WWE. I love it in Japan. I love it on the indies. I don't like it in the WWE. And I truthfully couldn't tell you why. Like, why there's such a big difference.
I can. Because I'm not like the worm nobody ever kicked out of.
You have a very valid point. And I think
nobody ever kicked out of the worm. That was one of the most protected moves in the WWE because it wasn't believable to begin with.
No.
He's literally dancing, hopping around the ring, giving you an opportunity to roll out of the ring because the ropes are right there. Does the worm dances again to give you more than ample light? Get a foot up.
Mm.
Something. To karate chop your forehead. How many people get out of that? Okay? We're talking
about
protected moves. The WWE, exactly. The WWE's always protected really random moves like that, like the Cobra. Mick Foley with the mandible claw.
Yeah, the mandible claw used to be a real thing, though. It wasn't until he put the sock on where it became ridiculous.
That's what I'm talking about, though. Because when he had just the leather gauntlet on his Mankind, it was fine. But when he started putting on Mr. Socko and started selling Mr. Socko's and the merchandising got behind it, that's when it got crazy. So it's like, the WWE's always protected really random finishers. And there's always been like those finishers that nobody ever kicked out of. But, you know, I don't know. I think that the WWE cares less about protecting the finishers now and more about making you wonder when they're actually going to hit the real finisher.
Yeah.
You know, because I think we've gotten to a point where our brains are trained to expect that's not going to be the one to put him away. I mean, we're kids that had the ability to have Infinity Special starting on SmackDown versus Raw. Like, I'm going to hit 900 Stone Cold Stunners on the guy because guess what? I have 900 Stone Cold Stunners. Like, that's really what it is. That we're so trained to have people kick out of those things because of the fact that, well, I mean, look around them. It happens in Japan. It happens in Ring of Honor. It happens in DNA. It happens in fact. It happens everywhere you look. People are kicking out of finishers. There's no real legit finishers anymore. Because there's people think about wrestling from a logical standpoint. You look at somebody like Brock Lesnar when he goes in there and he hits the F5 immediately right off the bat, or he starts throwing suplexes and then hits the F5. Nobody's kicking out of that. That's 100%, and the guy is 0%. But if you work Brock Lesnar over, he can't quite get the rotation out of that F5. He can't quite pull you down to the mat face first at the same rate. So it's kind of like playing the statistics of it, you know, turning wrestling into a real legitimate thing where, oh, you know, he didn't get all of it. Because you hear that all the time now. Oh, you know, he didn't get all that knee. He didn't get all that forearm. Oh, when AJ and Shinsuke. Oh, he didn't get all that forearm. You know, when Shinsuke drove his knee through the back of AJ Styles' head. Like, oh, man, he didn't get all that knee. He was just too close. Like, there were so many statistics that go into it. And so I think that's really what they're trying to play up is when you know, Daniel Bryan is in the corner and he's got the crowd chanting, yes, 100% of the time it works. If Daniel Bryan hits the running knee, there's a 75% chance that this is going to work. You know, when Kurt Angle has been working your leg over a whole match and he throws you into that ankle lock, it's all over. I think that's really what they're trying to get at now. Is there's a statistical gain to all of these finishes.
Yep. That was great.
Yeah. And I think from the multiple finisher perspective, it hurt the match a great deal. It turned the fans against the match, didn't it? So, but, you know, to answer Chris's question about how I felt about WrestleMania, I thought it was a good show. Ronda Rousey was the star of the show. She was absolutely incredible. And, you know, there was good matches, there was some questionable booking decisions, and, yeah, it's just, I guess, the follow-up. But WrestleMania should be the biggest show of the year, but we're kind of thinking, oh, okay, what's going to happen at Backlash?
Hey guys, this is the Project Thomas Brewington, and you are listening to the Broken But Glorious Podcast.
Where can people see us, both in the near futures?
Oh, we got a lot of stuff coming up. Just this weekend alone, we're actually making our debut for HAWA in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to be down in, what is it, in Georgia?
UIW.
Yes. For a tag team tournament. My calendar's stupid right now. There's a lot of stuff coming up, though, man. There's a lot of really good things heading towards the end of April. There we go. We're going to be ACTW in Delaware on the 28th. Me and Tommy are fighting on his birthday for
Semifinal of the Zebra Cup.
Then May 5th will be in NOW in Toledo, Ohio. May 11th, we're back in Brooklyn,
Cinco de Brewington.
Cinco de Brewington. And then we are going back to LPW in Fremont, Ohio on the 12th of May. So, pretty jam-packed with, what is that? 7 shows in 5 weeks.
Wow. Congrats.
I'm going to pass out.
Do you want to promote your social media before we go?
Tommy, I'll let you go first.
Oh, excuse me. I'm so honored.
You should be.
You can find me on Twitter at... What?
Don't you scoff at me.
You can find me on Twitter at Project Brewington. That's at PRJCT Brewington, BREWINGTON. You can find me on Instagram at Project Brewington, fully spelled out. You can like me on Facebook at facebook.com/Project Brewington. And, that's about it.
For me, you've got me on Twitter at Eric Emanon. That's ERICEMANON. You've got me on the Instagram. You can watch me post funny video game videos and all that good stuff. That's at ICM_Emanon. You got me on Facebook, facebook.com/EricEmanonProWrestling. And every so often on my fan page there, I post some updated merchandise from my Teespring store. So you can go get some old school IndyCard Mafia t-shirts, some new school IndyCard Mafia t-shirts. Thanks to Tommy for the hookup with that.
Yeah.
what else? Go to your local independent. Support local indie wrestling.
Yeah, support us.
We love when we get people that come out and tell us they heard us someplace, or they know of us from someplace we've never been. It's always nice to hear that, you know, people come out and support local wrestling. So please tell all your local promotions in the UK you want to start Mafia.
Yeah, definitely love to see you over here. So.
Yeah, I have to say at this point, the chemistry that you guys have just talking to you is off the charts. We'd love to see you over in the UK.
Well, thank you, man. Like, it was one of those things where, I don't know if you've heard it before when we were talking about how we first met, but, like, since day one, it's always been, like, immediate chemistry. And I love him like a brother. He is my brother. Sometimes I want to kill him, but he's my brother.
I can't wait for your best man speech that I'm going to give at your wedding. I can't believe you're giving me a mic at your wedding.
I don't know if we are.
Well, he's still planning to do the first dance of his mum.
I'm going to dance with your mom.
I hate everything.
I'm going to dance with your mom. Uncle Ron's going to dance with your mom. Jamie's going to dance with your mom. We're all going to dance with your mom at the same time, and you know why? Because we love you.
I don't feel like that has anything to do with loving me.
Oh, it's going to have a lot to do with loving your mom, though.
All right.
I'm physically laying on the floor right now for crying.
That's how you end the show, Chris, and all that stuff.
I'm going to
go. Okay, I'll
get after that. I can't get the side on. Thanks for joining us. I'd love to have you on again. I hope you enjoyed our show. Please follow us on Twitter. It's at BBGWPod. And we'll see you for our review of Backlash. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, that was fun.